Hello everybody, this is Loki, or Way of Loki, and welcome to No Hit Podcast. Here it's my job to interview extraordinary gamers in the realms of challenge running. Whether it be no hit runs, completing games in their entirety without taking a single hit or point of damage, speedrunning, completing games that would normally take hours in mere minutes, and other such adventures. Today's guest is Sublime, that's S-U-B-L-I-M-E on YouTube and S-U-B-I-I-M-E on Twitch, with the first I being capitalized. Sublime is a world record level speedrunner in the game of Cuphead, as well as having pioneered the no hit, no damage scene of Cuphead, also having done some of the most difficult no hit runs in the game, as well as having previously attained world records in speedrunning. In this conversation, we go through how Sublime approaches learning these runs, both no hit and improving at speedrunning, as well as the various glitches that occur within Cuphead, which there are quite some interesting ones, as well as a deep dive into the huge RNG aspect in doing Cuphead speedruns and other such topics. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Sublime. Right, Sublime, appreciate you taking some time out today, and thanks for joining me today on the podcast. How's it going, dude?
It's going good, dude.
Sweet. So I wanted to actually start just a bit prior to Hitless and speedrunning stuff, and query about, I read that you once taught competitive Hearthstone, which I was interested in where that all like started out from.
It was the first thing that I saw on Twitch. So I got some pretty early exposure to it, and I liked the game, and I really liked card games. That was the first like online card game that I played, and so I liked it, and it was popular enough to start a stream with it. Mm-hmm. And I specialized in a deck. It was a deck called Freeze Mage, and there was a meta in Hearthstone where there were multiple like seasons where it was good, but the season where I like started to get people to watch was, it was a season where Freeze Mage was like pretty dominant. And the way the tournaments worked was people had to bring more than one deck. And so they had to bring like Freeze Mage plus other stuff if they were going to play that deck. So they didn't have time to practice the deck as much as someone who would just specialize in it, because I didn't go to tournaments. So I didn't really have to like play other decks too much. So people who went to tournaments like came to the stream to figure out how to deal with certain matchups. And it wasn't like a paid thing or anything. It was just, it was really fun to get that many people to come hang out, like with, you know, just from playing like one deck. And eventually like pros started to come in, and they were coming in for advice because they didn't have like as much time, basically.
Yep.
And it was really cool, and so that was like the first time I streamed, and that was a long time ago, like maybe 6 years ago. Okay. When Hearthstone was bigger.
So that was like the origin story to like Twitch or to streaming in that introduction. How did that then develop or move into speedrunning? Or what was your first interaction with speedrunning?
I think the first interaction with speedrunning was Majora's Mask. Mm-hmm. There was a guy named Majin Phil, and I think he's still like my most subbed. And he's an OG. He's been on Twitch for a long ass time. And that was, I really, really like Zelda. And so I just liked him as a person, and I liked his community. And I wasn't that into speedrunning or anything. I just kind of watched because I liked the stream. But eventually I started to get into the challenge he was doing. He was doing like Majora's Mask 100%. And then I was looking for games to speedrun. And I saw TMR speedrunning Cuphead. He was ridiculously good. And it was like really abstract to me. And I really liked the game. Like that's when I think I found Cuphead through speedrunning, and I knew I wanted to like try it. And so I just bought it right away and just played it like casually. I think the first thing that got me into speedrunning was actually Zelda, like not Cuphead.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard of Majin Phil. I've recently seen him and the Happy Hop have like a Hitless race with Majora's Mask, which was fun to watch.
Yeah. That's so cool, like that he got into Hitless recently. Like it's because I knew him way before I knew anything about Hitless, so it's really awesome that he's doing stuff with Hob. He's known Hob for a while. They've like met up IRL like a long time ago. Like so they've been They've been friends for a bit, so it's cool to see him like do those types of challenges, because he usually just speedruns and just does variety stuff.
So from what was it about Cuphead that's made it like the one, like after watching the Zelda stuff, but it was like Cuphead, what was the appeal of that?
I think it was probably how easy it was to practice,
because
yeah. you could see how fast each level was, so I didn't need any like tools or anything. There's some pretty big problems for Cuphead though. Like I wasn't planning on playing Cuphead for a long time, because I immediately noticed problems with the speedrunning for Cuphead, and then I got like a decent time, and wasn't really planning on doing anything. And then I just like went to try to get the record just to see if I could. But I still don't think it's a very like that good of a speed game at the top level. But so it was the one because of it was the first thing that I saw basically, and I wasn't planning on playing it for a long time. But then I got more institutionalized than I thought I was going to, and I decided to get the record before I left.
So by problems, do you mean glitches or?
There's a couple of problems. I just gotta give examples. The biggest problem is probably the score screens. Like for speedrunning, the score screens in Cuphead have about a second of randomness. So like if you hit the A button on the right frames, there's no visual cue or anything. Like you just have to spam it.
Okay.
Then you can get it about a second faster than if you missed them all. So, and there's like 19 score screens, or like 18, I forgot how many. And so that's like a lot of RNG for a short run, like a 23 minute run. And it's not part of the fights or anything. It's just like, you just spam through the score screens and you hope that you get, a fast one.
So it would load an extra second quicker if you managed to hit that like frame perfect A select.
Yeah, there's like four frame perfect tricks in each score screen, like technically, and like yeah, there's no way to do it. There's no visual cue for it or anything, so you can try to time it, but like people have like measured like timing it versus mashing, and like it's not realistic enough to time it, and. So it's just like really annoying RNG, and on top of that, like there's the boss RNG, but I know like every game has that pretty much. Like every game with bosses is gonna have the boss RNG, so it's not like something that you know makes it super different from other games. But the score screens definitely are, and the other thing is the current patch of the game. This is a newer problem. The current patch of the game, like it freezes the game when you tab out.
Okay.
And so it's really hard to speedrun because live split will keep going if Cuphead freezes, like if the game freezes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just turns people off immediately for the current patch. But yeah, like it's because it's not very good at the top level because of how much RNG there is. It's possible to play perfectly and not get the world record for the most, for like the hardest category.
Yep.
Like the one that I got, if you can literally play perfect and like you can just lose because of RNG. So that's the point that it's at.
Yep.
And so I would say that Cuphead's like a really fun speedrun if you're just going to get like a, you know, sub like 30 time or just do it, just, you know, get some kind of time. But like, don't try to beat me and Wolf. Like, it's just not worth it. You could do it if you like put the time in, but it's just going to be luck based at the end.
So Wolf is the other top speedrunner, I believe, correct?
There's more than one category that's like really good. So like me and Wolf for this category, all bosses Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Legacy is just a downpatched version, the very first version. We're the two. We have the two like best times in there by like 10 seconds or so. And then I think I'm a second off of him, like 1.2 or 1.3 off of him. And then there's another category that's also very competitive and optimized. It's the middle patch. It's the same run. It's all bosses, but it's 1.1 instead of 1.0. And Grandius and Jason and Wolf, they all have really good times in that. And Grandius has the world record in that. So I'd say recently there were four speedrunners that stood out a lot in Cuphead. There have been some newer people though that have really, really like surprised me, I guess, because I didn't even know that they I didn't know that they were playing the game at all. There's a runner named Miguel that just got a really, really good time in a category extension. And it's a really, really hard category, even though it's a category extension. And also TMR comes back every now and then, and he does really well. So there's some really notable runners, but the best times in the game right now are owned by Grandius, Jason, me, and Wolf, SBD Wolf.
So just to clarify, just in case someone might not be aware, what are categories within speedrunning?
What categories are there?
So like, what is a category within a speedrun or a game from a speedrunner's perspective?
A category would be a certain type of rule set for the game. So if in the most common type would be an 80%, which would, the rules would just be to get through the game however you can, using whatever you can, and there's no restrictions. And so another category would just be another rule set for that game. For example, getting all of the items or all of the, like 100% of the collectibles, for example. Like if that's a rule, then that would become a different category.
So you mentioned boss RNG. Would an example of that be, there's a few bosses within Cuphead that some either spawn different mini bosses and some can become different phases, like Jimmy with the opening phase or Baroness spawning the different mobs. Would those be examples of quicker or slower RNG?
Yeah, and I would say there's two. I split RNG into two different groups. One is the type of RNG that makes your run slower or faster, and another would be the type that makes your RNG harder, or that makes your run harder or easier. And it depends on the game and like the situation, but there's going to be some patterns that are easier and slower. There are going to be some that are easier and faster. There are going to be some that are harder and slower, and then harder and faster. So like you can create four categories there, and then when you like want to describe a boss or like, you know, try to create an algorithm, you can put the patterns into one of those four boxes and organize things.
If we just take from the two categories, what would be an example of an RNG that would be quicker, an example that would be harder within Cuphead or a boss?
I would say harder RNG would be the flame wheel in the devil.
Yeah.
The flame wheel is like you have very thin margins to dodge. The hitboxes are pretty unforgiving. You have less time to dodge. You have less space to dodge. There's more things on the screen compared to other fights. So that's hard. The spider for the devil is like really slow, but very easy to avoid. So like you're going to lose time no matter what, because all it's doing is just belly flopping and then leaving the screen, and like when it's left the screen you can't do anything, so you just have to wait. And so like that would, you're just gonna lose time there, but that would be easier because there's less things to hit that could hit you. So I guess those two are pretty good examples.
Yeah, I noticed that with the spider during the hitless run-in, it annoyingly has iframes as it drops after the first one, which takes forever even though it's quite all right to avoid.
Yeah, it's that kind of, you just can't really hit it very well. It's pretty lame.
Just to go back to the speedrun aspects, from initially starting doing speedruns, how did you approach trying to improve at certain things? Was it from watching other runs, keep creating strats, or just like practicing over and over again, or a combination of each?
It was definitely, I watched people and learned stuff from people, but the biggest thing for practicing like in trying to get to a high level in something, I think this applies to anything and not just video games, it's to do segmented practice. So I think that the only way to master something is to break it into its smallest parts and try to analyze each part. Otherwise there's no way to know if you've mastered it. And so like getting to the world record level for a game is just a more extreme version of that, where you would use even more segments. For example, like instead of practicing a boss over and over, you could just practice like one phase and just master that phase and then master the next phase. Like that's just one example. But like you, even outside of games, like something like cooking, you would someone who is like a master cook is going to be really good at each step of making something. Like whatever dish you want to think of, like each step they do,
is going to be like very high quality because they've like practiced that one step like 1,000 times. Then they practice the second step 1,000 times. So it's just, and same thing with like, you know, a pro soccer player or anything. And so you need to practice one little part over and over and over and then move on to the next. And it's really, really annoying. but if you're doing something that you have passion for, then it definitely helps. And that's my recommendation for anyone, is like, you need to break it up into the smallest parts you can and then practice each part.
To take the run and gun section, that may be a good example. So that'd be like between the checkpoints of them that you then practice like over and over again, or just whole level?
With Cuphead, it's hard to
segment or
practice like the RNG that doesn't happen all the time. So there's not, for in some cases, there's just nothing you can do in Cuphead. Like there with, it's a really hard game to do that. It's a very hard game to practice. Like with if at the end of a boss, like you get fast retries. So it's easy practice with the amount of retries you get. However, there are some very fringe patterns that are hard to even get. You can stand there for a long time. You can stand there for minutes and just get, you know, one try at it or two tries at it. And you won't be able to practice it. So for something like that, there's really no solution. You have to, there's nothing.
Just time.
Unless you have like, yeah, exactly. Unless you have some tool, then you have to just use time. So for stuff like that, I try to really, really avoid stuff like that if I can in a game, if there's a way to around it. With Cuphead, there wasn't really that much of a way around it. Luckily, you don't have to worry about that if you're just going to play like if you're not going for a world record. Then you won't have to worry about stuff like that because you won't have to like save, you know, 2 seconds or like it's not like the end of the world. But for world record attempts, sometimes it is.
Having got to game like speedrun gameplay that is the world record, like has been world record and world record level. What do you see the difference between other runners' runs between like what makes the gameplay like a good player or a great player? Like, is there any notable things you can see?
Yeah, it's always a bunch of tiny things. So it's hard to give specific examples. That's a really, really hard question to like give an example, because if someone, let's say, is like, and they're good at Cuphead, but they're not world record level, it's going to be a combination of like 100 different like movement mistakes where like, oh, they should have shimmied a little bit more to the right there. They should have EX'd a little earlier there. You know, they don't know that this hitbox extends this far, so their positioning is like off. Oh, they didn't know that the bean spawned this fast in Baroness. And like it could be like knowledge based, like, oh, they didn't know that Hilda was invincible there. It's just like 100 different things, and it's very rare that there's like a huge thing to fix. That's what I found, at least.
A couple of things took there would be game knowledge and precision of gameplay, kind of thing.
Yes, it would be exactly like the way that that's achieved, like that difference happens because the people who get to the absolute top level, they're going to be doing more segmented practice. I really think that's why people leave such a gap in like leaderboards and stuff.
So to go on to categories again for a quick set, you've recently been running a category called Hater Percent. Could you do? And I know there's a lot of rules in this category, but could you give a quick breakdown of what's included in that category and what the appeal of that particular category was for you to run?
Sure. On a clean file, you have to earn 200% completion with all perfect grades on running guns and bosses, so all S and P, using just the P shooter. EXs are allowed, but no supers and no charms. And you have to do the entire King Dice Gauntlet, and it's all on expert. So those are the main rules. So it's like, basically that was created to try to make like the hardest run possible. And it's really, really hard, but it's gotten a lot of love because people were talking a lot of shit at the beginning of this game and TMR wanted to like shut everybody up. And so I respect it. And I put a decent amount of time into it. I haven't played Cuphead in a little while. And I haven't done attempts in Hater Percent for a couple months, I'd say. But I'm definitely planning on going back to it. I think I'm second right now, unless somebody else went and got up there. But I'm pretty excited to go back to that because people really like to watch that one.
What were people saying?
People were always trying to say that he was using something cheap. Like if he used the nuke, like on plane levels, they're like, oh, you're using the iframes. If you use like a super, like they'll complain about iframes. Same with smoke dash. Or if someone uses like the weapon swap glitch in the original version of the game, they'll complain that they're like doing an exploit. And if someone like learned the lobber exploit earlier, they'd complain about that. There's like ways to like glitch the certain bosses. They'd complain about that. Like not getting a perfect grade, for example. Like if you don't get an S rank, then they would say that it's like not impressive, even though like the rank doesn't matter at all. Like if you look at like the hardest category in Cuphead, like you're not getting perfect grades. Yeah. You're going as fast as you can. That the grade doesn't really matter. So like it was just very ignorant people like just giving like irrational complaints, and he was getting fed up with it, so he created the category. But the thing is, like, the irony is it didn't stop anyone. Like people still complained, so it didn't stop anything. People complained about the god run too, and like it doesn't matter. People will always complain. People will just get mad that you're good at something, and that they'll get mad that like it took so long for them to do it. And like it's very rare, but it'll happen. Like one in, you know, 1,000 people will just be really grumpy like that. And like it made him mad enough to create this.
So is that where the name origin comes from? Hater Percent.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
A funny thing you mentioned there was S and P ranks. So an S would be like experts. Basically parried everything, done everything, beaten everything, hitless, all that. I didn't know about P ranks for the longest time until like...
That's funny. A lot of people, they don't find out about it until later. And it's pretty easy to never see it because it's not like super hinted at. I think there's one NPC that gives you a hint. And I've seen people take that hint and like actually do it, like without spoilers. So I've seen people do it, but like I'd say most people don't like figure out that you'll get something from it or that you'll get a different grade. And I think some people who figure it out don't even try because they're like, yeah, that's going to be too hard. Yeah.
So just for anyone watching, if you want, P ranks are on the run and guns, where if you, I believe, complete the entire level without killing a mob or shooting a mob, you then get the P rank irrespective of anything else. Is that right?
Yeah, you can shoot stuff, you just can't kill anything.
Okay.
And you get it regardless of any other like hole in your score sheet. If you don't get like all the parries, it doesn't matter. You're still going to get pacifist. Someone complained about that for the god run, for like the hitless run, cuz like you get the P rank even if you don't get parries. And I didn't get the parries cuz it doesn't change the grade. Because P is like the perfect grade for running guns because it replaces every grade, so it's like the max grade. It, like if S and P like competed, P would win. Like in the code, you can get an S rank and it doesn't replace it. So yeah, that was a little annoying, but it's a very hard challenge. And if you can, there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself out. You can get more HP with the charms, and that helps a lot. And you can get the invincibility. And if you get all of them, then you get like the black and white filter, which is really cool. Okay. You can play the game in black and white.
I didn't know that actually. So one last thing on speedrunning before I deviate over to hitless stuff. Would you, as you were trying to get towards the board record, would you say, do you have an aspect of competitiveness to try to get the record? Or was it a lot to do with trying to improve your personal best, or a combination of the two?
No, it's definitely about beating everyone. Like I wanted to prove to myself that I could be like the best in the world at something. That was the whole point.
Yeah. Sweet.
And it wasn't healthy. But I felt like I really hadn't accomplished anything like super hard in my life before that. Like in general, I got a math degree, but like I barely got it. I didn't feel like I accomplished much. Like I didn't even go to the graduation ceremony. Like I really just didn't feel like I earned anything, but I did get that. But it just did, that does not count from in my opinion. And there, I just couldn't think of anything like that. Like if anything hard that I ever accomplished. So that was the reason why I wanted to like prove to myself that I could be the best at something.
Personal challenge that if you put time, work, effort, that's something like on a leaderboard showing that I am number one.
Well, yeah, it was partially the leaderboard, like the getting first, but I also wanted to like. I wanted to try to have like the highest skill level like out of anyone, and that it was like a decision that arose from like years and years of just like never accomplishing like anything hard, basically.
What then appealed of Hitless, or maybe we'll start the same way as speedrunning. What was the first introduction or involvement with Hitless that you saw or interacted with?
It was Swed. I was playing DS3 casually on stream, which was very like rare. Like I usually didn't stream casual playthroughs of anything. So it was like super like crazy RNG that he came in, but I was playing DS3. I was like in the swamp and Swed hosted me and he helped me out of the swamp cuz I was stuck. Like I was trying to go to I didn't have the doll, so I couldn't get over through the bridge. So I had to like, but I couldn't find the other way. Like, so I had to like backtrack, and I was stuck there forever. But he hosted me, and Squilla was there, and he was there, and I didn't really know who either of them were or anything. I didn't know about Team Hitless. I didn't know about Hitless Runs. All I knew is that he played the game before, because like he knew like what the like where to go. I didn't know that he was really really good. He surprisingly he stayed for a long time. I wasn't expecting anyone to like stay for that, but like it was, I guess they liked the blind playthrough enough for people for everyone to stay, and that's I learned about their streams through Swed. So I spent some time with like in Swed stream, and that's how we met. It was like really random. He said he was just looking down the directory and saw that like I was the only person who said first playthrough. And so he really likes first playthroughs. So it's very, very random. I don't know if I would have like done this or anything. It was pretty, I would say like arbitrary. There's a billion other things that could have happened that I probably would have been okay with.
Yeah, if you need help in a Dark Souls game, you couldn't really ask for better help than Squilla and Swed right there in DS3.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know who I was asking or anything. I was just like, dude, do you know where to go?
Yeah, that's V-Swed, for anyone wondering. He's an amazing DS3 player. So that was the involvement. So I imagine you learned about Hitless then from Swed's stream. And then what was then the progression to wanting to learn Sekiro No Hit?
I really liked Sekiro casually.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed with everybody that it wasn't as replayable. But despite that, I think I ended up just playing through Sekiro like 3 times. And I only played through DS3 like once, even though DS3 has like all the classes and all the different weapons and, you know, all these different things you can do. I liked the combat better in Sekiro. I thought the bosses were more polished. I thought the movement was more polished. I thought that the voice acting was better. I thought that the world was prettier. Like, so I just liked the game enough to like offset the lack of replayability. And so, and there's a little bit, like, for those of you who don't know, there's, like, multiple stories and storylines in Sekiro, and you can, if you do different things in the game, you can get a couple different bosses. It's not, like, a bunch or anything. You can get, you know, Emma and Ishin and Father Owl, and who else? Is that it?
Is that Demon of Hatred and Father Owl, Butterfly, although Butterfly's sort of separate, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, so that was what I did, like, for my second and third playthroughs, was to, like, fight the bosses that I hadn't fought yet. I chose Sekiro for Hitless because I was I just really liked the game, and I did the same thing. I got save states and I just practiced every single segment just a bunch, and it was, I didn't know at the time that there was like a damageless category. When I saw damageless and hitless, I thought that damageless was harder for Sekiro because I thought that it was like the same type of concept as like the other games. And then I learned that like you can block, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's just, so it's like, hitless was like invented after damageless for Sekiro as like a more extreme challenge. And that was like when I was halfway through hitless. So I was like, okay, I guess we're just going to continue this. And, that's the main reason. It's also very short, and I really like the short run compared to like a longer DS3 run. And back then it was a bit harder to get a faster DS3 run. I think people knew a bit less about how to do it. Geno had a good time back then, but some of the strats were a bit sketchier, I'd say, than now, to like get the same time, because people know more now. But yeah, that's the main reason why.
Yeah, definitely with like the growth community and so many more runners, so many more things have like been refined or discovered, or new strats have been created, both in speedrunning and in hitless running, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So many more people like looking at it. So you've started, or you did a few runs of DS3. What was that for the next one?
Can you say that again?
Sorry, I just didn't say a word for some reason then. Said, what was the appeal of DS3 as like the one to then return to hitless from? Because we'll talk about like the Cuphead damageless domination you went through, but I just wanted to stick with From Software for a quick sec.
Sure. The main reason for DS3 was because a lot of other people watched it and played it, and so it was more to interact with the community more. I do like the game a lot, though, but it was mostly just to try and meet more people who are playing and watching the game.
So, Cuphead domination, which I describe it as and is completely accurate. We went into... You were getting introduced to Hitless and your previous experience with speedrunning Cuphead. What was the trigger that meant, like, caused the merge into trying to do damageless Cuphead?
I thought it was a good idea because I thought that people might enjoy watching it, because a lot of people like Hitless, and I think a lot of people liked watching Cuphead, but there was no Hitless Cuphead at all. There was just like Cuphead speedrunning. And also, Cuphead was very hard to stream. It still is hard to stream because there's no like concurrent viewership in the category. You have to have your own viewers. So like if like a partnered streamer went into Cuphead, like their viewers would be from their own community. Like it wouldn't be like from concurrent viewers like floating in the directory. It doesn't exist. So when I first started it, I didn't think that anybody enjoyed it. I didn't really know enough people to create like a start creating a community, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I spent more time in the Dark Souls community and DS3 and streams, and I did Sekiro, and I became a mod for a couple chats. And I think that eventually just making friends was like the thing that allowed me to, I'd say, keep going with that, because I had to have my own like group of viewers basically to stream Cuphead. That's what I'm trying to say. It's, you have to siphon viewers from other communities. And this also ties to, I'm sure some people are probably wondering, like, why does it matter? Like, one, if it's just like a personal goal, then why would it matter if people are watching or not? It's actually not a personal goal. Like, I don't really have anything to prove in Cuphead. I don't really have anything to prove to myself. Like the world record was that I got like a long time ago, that one was something I wanted to prove to myself, like, but after that, like, there's really nothing. So this is to meet more people. It's not for like some personal goal. And I'm sure that it's confusing though if people don't understand that.
Was the addition, as Cuphead was the, so hang on, let's backtrack two steps. So Team Hitless is a community of no-hit runners. It's both a Discord community and a Twitch team, of which started as the From Software games being done no-hit, and then introduced Hollow Knight, and then Cuphead was the second game that was introduced, and since some other games have also been introduced. Did you start running as it was introduced, or how did the addition of Cuphead to the community sort of go down?
No, I did Hitless Cuphead before it got added to the team. I would say that the main reason it got added was people saw that it was a thing, and they saw the runs and saw that it was doable, because I think a lot of people had a lot of misconceptions about the game. They thought that it was like, since it was a bullet hell, it wasn't really a good idea, and it was like maybe luck based or something. But then they saw somebody like doing the game consistently, and it's very simple too. It's pretty simple to make the rules, and it's approachable, it's easy to practice, and it's hard. And so it checked all the boxes. And so I got a couple people reached out to me and were like, look, we think that it's a good idea to add the game, and but we need you to help because we don't have anybody like qualified to verify the runs. We don't have anybody qualified to create the rules, and like we need somebody who can oversee the game because nobody has enough experience. And I filled that spot, and so that's how the game got added.
And it's been great to see, because there's so many amazing runners who like. I've started some people who've done the Any% and even people who've gone even further, like Mukko, Leon, and Leanne, which definitely doesn't get confusing.
Yeah.
And then, like, because the separation between, like, this might be hard to describe, but, like, I've done, like, a regular run, but the separation between, like, the regular difficulty and the expert difficulty, and the expert difficulty is, like, on another level that I think you and Muk have attained, so to speak. Just it's such a difference.
Yeah, it's a pretty big difference, I'd say.
But yeah, so many runners that's like may have not come into the community if that had not been a part of. So I think it's been a great addition, and a lot more runners now taking part of it. I've seen plenty like on the stream side of being recommended of running it. So definitely started.
Yeah,
something.
It's really awesome to see. Like that's so amazing, and I'm really happy to get so many runners, and I think that everyone's been really nice, and I'm really proud of everyone who's gotten a run, and I'm proud of everyone who's, you know, like reached out in the community and played the game and practiced and everything. It's definitely it's really cool to see like the support that from people who are running the game and are really good at, but I don't know about them, and they know about me, and they are, you know, really supportive, and I'm really happy that I'm able to like help out with strats and stuff too, because there wasn't really much of a way to figure out what to do in Cuphead. Like there is not a lot of tutorials and anything. There's not many resources, and so it can be really hard to learn the game without reaching out. And but I think everyone's like facilitated that really well, and I think that's a good thing.
For definite. I was also curious if it first actually had it been done before all this.
Yes.
I was just wondering if it'd been like if other speedrunners had been interested or are interested or started running or if not.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of interest. Grandius did, I think he did one or two tries just for fun. He almost did it like first try. Like he's never done a Hitless run before. He's just that good at the game. And then Wolf and I were doing co-op for like a day or two. So he's got a little bit of interest. But they all said they might like do a run. And then there are some speedrunners who like Mr. Butter who did it. What was the other part of the question?
I think it was a really badly worded question.
Oh no, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It was so No Hit's like a relatively new concept, at least like in the From Software games. Hob was sort of the one who like developed the interest. So damage, No Hits, that sort of a new concept. I was just interested if not so much there was a reason why it hadn't like picked up before, but just if there was something about it that made people not appeal to it or preferred like this speedrunning aspect as opposed to trying no damage.
Man, that's a good question. I don't know, because I'm pretty sure that Hitless existed back when the game came out. So I'm trying to think of like some factor that could account for that, but I really don't know. It could just be the case that a speedrunning community was created beforehand and everybody just hopped on board. Although that wouldn't really explain the difference between Cuphead and other games, because most games like started a speedrun community before Hitless, I think. And
It's just this like an older type of challenge. I'm really not sure, man.
No.
People didn't really like. I guess people didn't like it as much. Like the Cuphead community wasn't like as into it, and they didn't. I don't think it was like, since it wasn't official, I don't think that it was something that people cared about, since it was just like a personal challenge and there was no like leaderboard. But once it became an official thing, people saw like the Team Hit List page and stuff. We had like a bunch of speedrunners express interest, and we had a bunch of people trying to get the run at least. And we had Mr. Butter and others getting it really quickly, just from using their speedrunning strategies.
That is definitely an interesting concept, which is definitely right. With the having a kind of like Hall of Fame kind of thing on the website, so many runners move into it and try to do it, which is like appeals to every, like all the games, not just Cuphead. I hadn't really thought of too much before.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Like a hall of fame on the website?
No, sorry. There's the website itself is a Hall of Fame, and like the sort of, I don't know if notoriety, I think notoriety, it sounds a bit like dramatic, but there is that appeal of that makes people want to do the runs, like to have their name there, or to have a thing attached to the name in, or a tag or stuff like that. I was just interested, like I'm interested in psychology, so just in that caught my interest of like,
oh, I gotcha.
where that goes, or what the appeal of that is. So yeah, sorry, that was like a tangent that went off in my head and didn't really express
it. All good, dude.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before I go through a few quick questions?
One thing I'd say is, I guess it's advice for people who are learning the game.
Mm-hmm.
A very common thing for people to do in hitless runs, and like especially from soft games, is to like position their character to restrict move pools. And so, for example, in DS3, if you stand behind a boss, like you're gonna get a different move pool than standing in front of the boss.
Okay.
And with Cuphead, it's not that, there's no positional move pool manipulation like at all. So I think when people play the game, they may not realize that, and they may like try to bait certain attacks because they might think that their position is influencing things. And I think that knowing that it actually doesn't influence it at all is pretty important for learning correct positioning in the game, because positioning in Cuphead is just about creating space and dodging projectiles, and not about like limiting move pools or anything.
Are you saying to be aware of how your position affects the moves that a boss can use, and learn that aspect, or learn how to cause those restrictions to cause that?
Oh no, it's really just know that your positioning doesn't affect the boss's what attack the boss chooses.
Oh, within Cuphead.
Yeah, you never have to worry about it. So, okay. But I think I've seen people kind of move as if it does, and it's just not a thing.
So a query from my thoughts, because this may apply directly to me. In Calamaria, the turtle that spawns on the bottom, that which fires the mine into the air, does he do that irrespective of your position? This is a very specific example, sorry.
Yeah, like he will do the same attack. There are attacks that track you, but what I'm saying is you can't, your positioning doesn't change which attack happens.
Right, okay.
It'll change like where the attack goes, okay, but it won't change which attack.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which is like, because like in DS3, for a lot of fights, like you're just trying to, a lot of your attention is just to limiting move pools. It's like, for example, in Princes, like there's a spot like behind him where you can limit his move pool really, really like badly, to the point where it trivializes the fight completely. And it's definitely a different type of learning and positioning. So yeah, the turtle would not, it would just be that it would, it might track you, but it doesn't, the attack would still happen regardless.
Yeah, it's like, it's up to Cala kind of thing, irrespective of where you are or what you're doing, to which attack.
Yeah, there's like a small exception where it's in the first version of the game. There's a couple bosses where going behind them will like spawn a really fast like sword, and it'll just come out and just hit you right in the face.
Okay.
It'll come from off screen. And that was designed to try and like stop people from cheesing the fights and going behind.
Okay.
It got taken out, but it's not like it doesn't change the boss's attack. Like the boss isn't attacking you. It's just this random sword from like off screen that just whacks you. And so like that's the only exception really, I guess. But that doesn't really change the boss pattern, so that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to ask a query quick. Is there what other weird glitches there are in Cuphead? Because I fell victim to a few of them, including, is it an invisible bird box on Wally? I can't remember the exact wording you used.
Yeah, I think Wally is like pretty much like objectively the most fucked up boss. Like it's just the most like, you know, screwed up boss, because there's a birdhouse that literally like turns invisible and then spawns like on top of Wally's stomach. Okay. On like in the fourth phase. It's just like chilling on top and you can look at it with like a hitbox detector. But what's even crazier is this is not talked about enough, is that if you turn on V-Sync,
okay,
it completely ruins the physics of the fight. Wally's garbage that he shoots out in the last phase gets yeeted 500 yards off screen. Like it's not even remotely close to hitting you. It's all supposed to track you, and like it goes so far off screen if you turn on V-Sync. So you can just trivialize the fight with like changing the options, or you can trivialize that phase on top of like the birdhouse. Like that's crazy. And the birdhouse glitch, like that only exists in the current version of the game. It didn't exist in the past. A soft lock on the train, where you will just it'll just perpetually shoot like parryables at you, and then that can ruin a run. That's on the first version of the game too, though. The monkey on the first version can just go off screen. That's what speedrunners do. They like knock it off screen and it kills itself.
The mini boss in King Dice. Fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think this is on the middle patch, and I think this got patched out. But if you like EX, and if you EX off of a platform and then you like use a certain directional input on the right frame, you just can't attack. Like it's over. Like you can't do anything. You can't attack or do anything, and you're just gonna die. That ruined a run for me a while back. Invisible like enemies in Treetop. Like there's just invisible like bees and stuff that'll spawn and hit you in the face, and there's nothing you can do about it. Goopy, like the big blue dude in the beginning, for like one frame or so, he like spawns himself like invisibly next to himself.
Okay.
Don't ask me like how that is even remotely possible or how that got coded in. So like it's like another duplicate of himself. It's off screen. Okay, oh my gosh, how do I explain this? This is so abstract. Another Goopy spawns for like a frame or two. I don't know how many frames. It's a very short amount of time. His sprite is off screen. Like if you zoom out, it's off screen for like a couple frames, but there's an invisible hitbox on screen, like next to Goopy. And so people try to hit that with like a lobber. They'll try to hit the real Goopy and then the secondary hitbox Goopy that's invisible next to him, and people figure that out because like you can zoom out and see him spawn for a sec. It must be something to do with like the face transition, I'm guessing, but it's really, really weird. So there's just really scuff stuff like that, and there's like bad hitbox problems. Like the one with Wally isn't the only problem. There's one on Genie where you can just get hit by nothing if you go under the puppet at a certain time. And the dragon, when the dragon goes from second to third phase, the nose hitbox will disappear, and the third phase hitbox will spawn instantly, and you'll get hit instantly by the third phase. Even though it's not on the screen, and it's not even remotely close to being on the screen. So there's a lot of janky stuff. It's nothing like too bad. Like that's just something where you have to move, you have to stay to the right, and you have less space to work with. Luckily, there's nothing like shoving Genny in a corner or like going up against the fog wall for princes. I can't think of anything like that. So it's really, I'm really happy about the amount of jank in the game. It took a little bit to think about examples even, and a lot of those examples were patched out, like I was saying. One thing is the parry. There are partial parries in the game, so I don't really know what the intention was, if it was on purpose or not. I'm guessing it probably was on purpose because it's not. It's easy to replicate. But for those of you who don't know, a partial parry, it's the same definition for DS3, I believe. Would be if you successfully parry the boss, but you take damage, and it usually happens if you parry too early in a game. In Cuphead, if you parry too early, you can take damage and still get the parry. Or if you're parrying like Pawniff, for example, in DS3, you can get hit, but then he gets like the animation still happens to him even though you took damage. It's like a timing based thing, and so you can get that, like you can get hit and still get a parry, and that can be pretty frustrating. But in the end, it means that you parried a little early. And there's a visual glitch called jump lock, where you jump on the same frame that you land, and if you jump on the same frame that you land, or it might be like the frame before, basically your parry starts to come out the exact time that you land. And when you jump again, you'll get a visual parry, but it won't actually act as a parry. And so that is just like, it doesn't really matter as much as people think, because if you jump too early, trying to buffer your next jump, mm-hmm. sometimes only a parry will come out. You know, if you jump in Cuphead and jump again, you'll get the parry, right?
Yep.
And if you jump and then you just wait to land and then you jump again, it's just two jumps. So there's one frame in between. If you get that one frame, like people like really get frustrated because they think they're buffering it. But then they see the visual glitch afterwards. Like their jump doesn't come out and then they jump again. And suddenly there's this parry that like exists, but they didn't do it. But it's only visual and it doesn't affect actual pink objects. So I guess that's jank for you. If like I can't think of anything worse. But it doesn't affect the game too much. It's just like definitely really confusing people. It still confuses most speedrunners who run the game. I have to explain that a lot.
Yeah, I've definitely fell victim to the partial parries a few times, especially weirdly on the roller coaster in Beppy. That was like my most consistent one that I messed up, as it is technically a mechanic.
Parrying from below is like more strict because of gravity, since the object's coming at you faster, and also because you're giving it potential to hit you in the first place. If you parry from the side in Cuphead, there's a lot of situations where there's no way to get hit with a parryable. Like either you get the parry or you miss it. Like there's no situation to get hit, and because it can't land on top of you, and your parry radius is like bigger than the hitbox for the parryable. So like you just aim your parry in such a way so as to like make yourself outrange the hitbox, but like you guarantee that you hit it. And if you miss it, then whatever, you land and that's fine. You just have to know your options. But it's very frustrating to get the partial parries. You can get it at the very end of the game, like on the devil, when the tears are coming straight down.
Oh, man.
Like, since the tears are coming down and there's the platform coming down, and on expert, like, you can't really oscillate like you were doing. It's really, really frustrating to get it to take a hit there. Like, really, really bad, dude.
I can imagine. Final boss, I've literally been... we all have.
Yeah, I saw you. That was so close, dude. You got the run ridiculously fast. Like, regardless, that was so crazy, especially on console.
Yeah, appreciated. I really enjoyed the run. I really enjoyed running Cuphead. I thought it was a really fun one. And for, as you say, on the console, it's really nice for practice. So I don't have to like set up like a million like USB files.
Yeah, it's for when you compare like console Cuphead versus console like FromSoft games, it's so much easier because you have the retry button. Like the retry, it's like so quick. The debugger, it helps a little, but it's not like super necessary or anything to practice Cuphead. So it's pretty cool that we've had like a couple console speedrunners and console hitless runners.
Yeah, it's definitely has a bigger like accessibility aspect to it than perhaps some of the other runs that are on hitless.
A lot of people got started with console.
Because like Hollow Knight has an amazing debug that I've seen many people use, which is definitely a useful thing to like introduce to like bench warping and teleporting, which obviously isn't necessary in Cuphead.
Yeah, Cuphead has the same thing, and yeah, it's not as helpful.
Yeah, just a few seconds of walking kind of thing. Like maybe a minute if you're like going all the way from the end. Let's go with Hitler's perspective. What would you say is the most difficult in the game, or separated from regular and expert, if there's a difference, if there's a different boss for each difficulty?
The biggest difference between the regular and expert?
So what would be the hardest boss during a Hitler's run? Like separated, if the hardest boss in regular is different than the hardest boss in expert. If it's not, then it's the same. Then obvious.
I think it would probably be the double for both.
For both, okay.
Yeah, it also depends on the weapon you're using. If you're using like spread, for example, then the dragon is the hardest. If you're using like just spread, but like obviously people aren't going to use just spread.
Yeah.
That would only be if you're doing that challenge. I'd say overall it's the devil, because you have the least amount of time and like the least amount of space to dodge his attacks. The flame wheel is like really, compared to the rest of the game, it's pretty silly. It's really hard.
Yeah, and those poker chips I just hate with a passion in his like penultimate and final phase. They just seem to come out of nowhere and I'm jumping into them.
The B is pretty hard on regular, but it's not like, I would say that once you practice it, it's not too bad. Just the second phase is hard with the triangles and the circles. That's hard if you get like bad platforms, but everything else is fine.
The B, a recommendation that I got from Sublime, is there's a way to set up, I'd query in the Team Hitler's Discord for like a written explanation, but to set up in second phase to do as much damage to reduce third phase as much as possible, that increased the consistency of that boss hugely for me. So I'd recommend doing that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Aldrich too. I say the amount of times that people like successfully skip the last phase is pretty similar to Aldrich too. And like if you miss, then you can usually just get one or two hits in and kill them. And with the B, if you practice it, like it's very lenient. Like you can do it on expert where she has more health with just pea shooter, like without swapping weapons or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a decent amount of leniency. And so, yeah, that's definitely worth like making a guide over for sure to help people out with that.
So I'll go through a couple of quick questions. If one game could be released tomorrow, either a game that's been announced, unannounced, or a sequel to a game that you might not think will ever exist, what game would it be?
Like one that I wanted the most?
Yeah.
It would be like a remake of World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a question to me. That would be by far the one that I want the most. There's like WoW's coming out for like classic WoW's coming out for what, like the third time in like a month from now. They're making like an accelerated version of the re-release, which is the third version. So people really like the game. Like they like the old version of the game, and I do too. And I want like a new MMO from the same devs, but.
Well, like completely,
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Like completely separate, like IP or intellectual property. People don't know, which is like a new game or a new project or a new like MMO.
Yeah, like it couldn't. I don't want it to be just a DLC or an expansion. I don't want it to use like the same engine either. Like the engine's like 17 years old.
Okay,
like it's very old. But a lot of the concepts people would want it to remain the same, because like WoW has a lot of. It has a lot of things that are like really, really unique to the game that reward like spending time, and I think the social aspect of it is something that people really like, and the dynamics of combat, and like how there's different factions where like you can like be afraid to go somewhere because there actually is danger, instead of most games like there's a way to flag off PvP. You can just run around with no risk, and it can kind of kill the game sometimes. I really like a lot of aspects about WoW, especially the old version. Unfortunately, the store shops ruined it for a lot of people, including me. So I don't really play the game anymore. But a lot of people would like, you know, a remake or like a WoW 2 or something, and that's what I would want.
Did you happen to see the Coke advert? Sort of random, but
I did. Yeah, I saw it. I don't really know what to think about that.
Yeah, I saw it's just I found it quite funny.
wasn't the best commercial.
anyway. So a bit of a different tangent and a bit of weebery from me in fairness. So quite a so you've got a banner of like Mob Psycho for Twitch and alerts of Dragon Ball Super technically with Dragon Ball Super. What recommendation would you give of anime if that someone might not have watched or something that you really enjoyed?
I would say Haikyuu and Jujutsu Kaisen. Haikyuu is a sports anime. It's a volleyball anime. And I didn't really expect to enjoy it because I don't play volleyball. But it's just really, really well made. And Jujutsu Kaisen is another, it's like a newer show that has one of like the strongest first seasons, I'd say. Like there's only one season out, but they're both shonen. But they manage to like have interesting characters and shit. I would say those two, and also Attack on Titan. The final season's coming soon, so people have like the ability to like catch up to it. And I'd say those three like stand out a lot for me. Those are my favorite by a lot.
For definite, Jujutsu Kaisen had some of the best animation I've seen in the last year. MAPPA did such a great job with that, as well as Attack on Titan, the most recent season.
It's so good, and I'm hoping that MAPPA gets its shit together with the animation, like striking and stuff, or like whatever's happening with the like people. Like I think lead animators like quit their job because of work conditions.
Yeah, and I mean, the amount of stuff they put out this year, they must have like I don't have much knowledge of the size of animation studios, but they must have been working like God knows how much to get.
Yeah, I just feel bad for them. Like I'm hoping there's a way to like make the content good without like manipulating people and making them overworking them.
Yeah.
Because that's not fair. But yeah, MAPPA is like amazing, and so is Bones.
Yeah. It's great.
And I'm not all the way through Demon Slayer yet, but that's another one where like it's got amazing animation. It's got pretty similar to like it's got similar animation to Jujutsu Kaisen, where like you got the really vibrant colors.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to explain though without people just trying it out.
Yeah, I think people will be aware of Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anyone's not checked out, as well as the second season is now currently airing as well, which is perfect timing.
Yeah.
And a couple of recommendations from me, just so you don't have to like bring them up. So Steins Gate is an amazing like time travel based anime, which I would highly recommend as well.
I love Steins Gate.
It's one of the best. And a bit of one people might not know is one called Terran Resonance or Zankyo no Terra. A very good psychological anime, which I can't really go too much into without spoiling. So it's not one that's not many two people have seen, but I'd really recommend.
I have not heard of that either.
It's really good. I recommend it. It's only 11 episodes. It's a complete story. So I would recommend it.
Oh, sweet. There's some of them that are easily accessible. I'd say One Punch Man still on Netflix, right? Or is it not? Yeah, that's a really good show. That's pretty easy to find.
Oh, speaking about Mob Psycho, they've just announced a third season or the final season.
Final season?
Yeah, Mob Psycho 3.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know they announced it, dude.
Yeah, they did it yesterday. So that'll be like the finale kind of thing. So sweet.
Yeah, and also Mob Psycho. I recommend that too.
Opinion or it's hard to judge. This is like even like delving into the weebery, but like the One Punch Man's second season like was such a drop. Like I already like Mob Psycho, I think I prefer over One Punch Man, but I think it would have been a difficult decision had the animation stayed the same from season one to season two.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone agrees with that.
Yeah. Anyway, back to some challenge running stuff. So, could you tell me about a time, whether in speedrunning or hitless running, when a run was taking its toll? Because there's quite a large like mental aspect of challenge running, where people will be like on one hit PBs or trying to get that next speedrun PB. So like a time when you've been in that place and how you then got past, improved, or got the run, or that sort of thing.
I'd say the biggest example is the frustration of like the RNG at the when doing world record attempts for Cuphead. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much RNG at the top level that you have to like play perfectly while waiting for good luck. And so that's definitely like really demoralizing, because sometimes it doesn't matter how well you play. Once your skill stops being a factor, it just gets really, really frustrating. So I didn't really do, there's no good solution to that, because I don't really recommend like people trying to do that for Cuphead. But I tried to be more optimistic. I also tried to make the runs a little bit easier to do. I split up my audio and I started watching shows and watching streams while doing world record attempts. Because I was like I was doing attempts offline, so I was just doing other stuff on the side, and that helped a lot. Like it helped me distract myself, and I usually muted everything like maybe halfway through the run or so, and that was pretty much it. Like I had to really, really grind through that, and that was extremely hard. Can't think of any examples that really compare to that. That's definitely the best example I have.
From the runs that you've completed, what would you say was the most hyped or biggest celebration of, either from Hitless or from speedrunning?
Biggest celebration was probably the God run. I don't know, I popped off pretty hard on like my first like Hitless Cuphead run. Because like it was, the hype part about that was like how fast it happened, I guess. I don't remember which stream it was. I think it was the second stream. But I really was like, it was just funny the way it happened, because like I think I got to the end like over and over. Like I just got like a Hitless run to the end and then just got hit at the very end. And that was like the way the whole stream happened. And then I got it like at the end, and it just took like a day, and like each run was almost the run. Mm. And that was fun to like close that out and like actually get it that quick. That was cool. I honestly, like, it might be Sekiro, because like Sekiro was the most the least known for me. I didn't know much about that game because I didn't have enough time to practice it. Like I got really lucky with the run. I think on my third stream or fourth stream, I got Hitless Shura, and I didn't have enough time to learn about like the intricacies of the game. So like some stuff like definitely could have hit me, and it just didn't happen. That one was like when I got to Emma and Ishin, I was very, very nervous. I was not expecting to get it. I knew I was out of my league. I had not been like at that part of the run yet.
Yep.
Like the furthest I had gotten was after Guinea 2. That was the furthest I'd gotten like in the Hitless run. It was like right after Guinea 2. And so I was still like, you know, taking baby steps and like trying to get like a smaller, like, or a distance PB. Cause I had a one hit PB, but like that one hit PB was like getting hit by Gyobu and then just like doing the rest perfectly. So I'd say it was probably honestly Sekiro. Hitless, the Cuphead God run was pretty emotional, but I don't know which pop off was harder. It's hard to tell.
So could you, I should have brought this up much earlier, but could you give a quick explanation of your Cuphead God run?
The Cuphead God run was like a damageless version of Hater Percent. So it was Expert. You start the game with fresh Expert. You can only use Peashooter, no charms, no items, and you have to get a perfect grade for everything. No exiting the map. So there's a couple more restrictions, and if you get hit at all, then the run's over, so it's a Hitless run. In Hater Percent, you can get hit and retry the level, and you can also get hit in the running guns and just complete the running guns, because Pacifist doesn't require perfect scoreboard. So it was the most extreme the most extreme run like I could possibly make, basically.
Essentially a perfect game run on Expert.
Yeah, yeah. So that was very, very cool to get. I was really proud of that one when I got that one. And I'd say it's still the hard, I wanted to try that because I thought it would be the hardest thing anyone's like ever done. And I still think it probably is for the game. I think that Miguel was planning on doing it too. And I'm really excited to see him doing it. And the DLC's coming out, so the run will get harder. Like, it'll not be the ultimate run forever. And so I'll like incorporate the DLC. That'll be extremely difficult. This game is like it's a very extreme game because it's a boss rush with a pacifist overworld. It's like very different from like FromSoft games. If you compare the 80% times for DS3 and Sekiro and Cuphead and Bloodborne, Cuphead's a little shorter, but it's not short enough to like offset the fact that each boss is 2 seconds away from each other. So like it's like a 30 something minute run depending on who you are, and for a hitless run, and there's no break at all. There's no like safe like running section or anything. There's just like you have tiny little bits of time in this pacifist overworld, and then like 3 seconds later you're in the next fight. So it's just constant dodging and like positioning for like 30 something minutes, and you don't get the same type of breaks that you get, especially if you're like being timed and if you're trying to keep like a flow. But if you're just doing pure hitless, you could just you know, relax and stuff. But once you incorporate time, like it gets pretty, and people are going to be doing that for the, when they're grinding like any percent, like for just pure hitless, like they're gonna, the runs that people have gotten have all been like sub 45 minutes or like sub 50 minutes. And so it can be really tough. And I think people forget about like how compact it is. It's like the most compact game in the team because there's no downtime.
Yeah, definitely say like DS3, a quick run would be like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, relatively fast run. And I'd say each minute of Cuphead is like more dangerous than a minute
exactly.
Dark Souls 3 or like an insert game. Because it's focused time as opposed to perhaps 30 minutes or more of walking and routing. Like, because even traversing an area can be routed out to be chill, as opposed to effectively every minute, apart from maybe 5 minutes of walking in Cuphead, that is everything's like focused, like focused play.
Yeah, and I think you have more options to spend more time to get access to more trivializations, like skulls. You can spend more time to get skulls. You can go get patches, get more skulls. You can use spook, and like there's all these things you can do. With Cuphead, there's not much like that. You can go get Mausoleum 2, and a couple people have done that. It's just nowhere near as helpful.
Invincibility, then.
Yeah, invincibility.
Yeah.
And I've seen two people get hitless runs with using that on the devil. But it wasn't. It's. I would say not even better. It's just something that they prefer. And I forgot what my point was there.
I think it was like a lot of the routing sections and additional stuff you can get in DS3 can trivialize a few things, but in Cuphead, there's that like one item potentially, and that's just as an option.
Yeah, and Smoke Bomb doesn't really, it doesn't trivialize the game as much as like Twin Blades or something. Like it just doesn't. It's the only way to even get your character to start doing the same thing that other games do, which is like to give you iframes.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't have any iframes at all. You're just trying to dodge everything, like dash under everything. The only exception being the plane bomb, where you can get iframes with the plane bomb because you start with it in the beginning of the game.
I just want to go back just quickly or comment on your Sekiro stuff, which is, I think it's such a big psychological thing, like improvement. Like once you have done each segment of a run hitless, it's such a benefit because then it sort of proves to yourself that you can get that run hitless if those are just put back to back. So like in your example, you say like there's a bit of RNG aspect to it, but having done each section hitless multiple times, if you say like Yobi was your one hit, then just having that knowledge just really helps if anyone's like running. Just as soon as you get those each segment hitless at least once, it does make you a lot more confident going into it.
Right, exactly. It's so important, and I don't think there's another way to do it. Like I don't think there's a way to get to the top level of something without really, really hardcore segmented practice.
And just one other thing on, you mentioned to do with your like hype moments. A funny moment that I saw in your Cuphead video that you ended up posting to YouTube was, you get the run and then you walk off screen and then the video ends. with your like.
Really?
I think your original.
Oh my god.
Any percent? You pop off. You like walk out your seat and then you go off screen and like the expecting to come back and then the video just ends.
It's because like, I love how it just ends like that. I wasn't like thinking that much about it, but basically like I did look at later on like what happened when I came back and. I don't know. I was just like ranting. So I was just saying random stuff, just like mumbling. So I didn't keep it in. I just walked off and like all you see is like the chat.
Yeah,
and
that's it. I think it's better. Like it finishes great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Right. So what's in the future plans of Sublime? Either Twitch or videos or runs or.
I'll be doing. Some more like the 80% for Cuphead a little bit more. I don't know exactly how interested people are in Hitless DS3 for me. We'll see, but my interest in it definitely depends on like how much it'll let me meet new people. And also I'm definitely planning on playing Elden Ring when it comes out. I'm not super excited for anything particular in the game, and I don't have super high hopes or anything. I do have high hopes for the bosses. That's it. Not for like anything else about the game. But I know that it's going to be popular and I think that I'll get some value from playing it for sure. And we'll see like what type of challenges pop up with the game and see how good of a hitless game it is. It'll be interesting to see.
For definite. And if people wanted to check you out, where would they be having a look at or having a gander at?
twitch.tv/Sublime. So S-U-B-I-I-M-E. I wish I could get the OG Sublime, but I was not early enough, unfortunately.
And also, it's Sublime with the L on YouTube as well, if you want to see some of these amazing runs that he's done.
Yeah, you should be able to find me if you'd like try to search for any type of Cuphead run, Hater Percent or the God Run or Legacy, and I should pop up, hopefully.
Sweet. Well, Sublime, I really appreciate time, man. I hope you enjoyed. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, me too, man. I appreciate it.
Sweet. And I hope everyone's enjoyed listening. So we shall catch you, or I shall catch you, in the next episode. If you're interested in listening to more conversation with amazing gamers, be sure to head over to youtube.com/wayofloki, Loki spelled with a C, or wayofloki.com/nohitpodcast. Appreciate it, and hope you enjoyed listening.